Louis Browns. Once hit 333, only using one arm, most valuable player in the Southern Association. Played at Yankee Stadium, the big thrill of his life. I don't think he's ever been interviewed anywhere. And I'm talking about, you know, and then the interview was made public. And we might be looking at an all-time first. We'll have to send this show to the Hall of Fame, Strumsky. You have a lot more than I do, because I've been handling sports for decades, and I've never heard a word uttered by Pete Gray, nor ever seen an interview in print, until a young fellow up in Scranton went to work and got it and said, "Would you like to play it for your audience?" And I said, "Yoy, let's have it." I'll be right back with more. Up later on the show, it's going to be Pete Gray, the only one-armed ball player in the history of the major leagues. Hi, Sportsline.
Hi, Ron.
An interview with Pete Gray. Something that you don't hear too often. As a matter of fact, it may never have been done before. Only one-armed ball player in the history of Major League Baseball. So we were talking about the Philly pitching, weren't we? About the interview that we have been able to obtain with Pete Gray, a very, very difficult guy to reach. As a matter of fact, in all the time I've been doing sports, I never heard of anybody who ever obtained an interview with Gray. And as you know, Gray was recently the subject of a television movie called A Winner Never Quits. Well, there's a fascinating young fellow by the name of Steve Zvetovich. He's a graduate of Scranton Prep, University of Scranton, and he does a great deal of writing. And he recently had an article published in the Hazel and Standard Speaker Sports section called The Real Pete Gray Talks About His First Love, Baseball. Incidentally, Hazel and Standard Speaker, if you have never seen the paper, is an excellent, excellent newspaper with just a wonderful sports section. Anyway, getting back to Steve Zvetovich, Steve's a very industrious young fellow who just decided to take a tape recorder and a notebook down in Anacoke and get a hold of Pete Gray and get an interview with him. And I guess somewhere along the way, a lot of people said to him, "Forget about it. Pete doesn't give any interviews. He's a recluse. Leads almost a hermit-like existence." Well, that story was scotched completely by the article that appeared in the Hazel and Standard Speaker. Quoting from it, and according to Steve, he writes, "The media has depicted Pete Gray as a recluse and as a man who has little use for other people. They say he's hard to get along with and he's refused to cooperate with the press. Well, I met Pete Gray and I interviewed him on the back porch of his Nanticoke home, and I found him to be quite the opposite. Pete Gray, the only man ever to play Major League Baseball with one arm, talked to me about the one thing he loves best, baseball." Now, here's a portion of the chat between Steve Zvetovich and Pete Gray, who's in baseball's Hall of Fame, as you very well know. And the first question that Steve tossed in his direction was about Vern Jr. Stevens, who was probably the best ball player on the St. Louis Browns team of 1944, the only St. Louis Browns team that ever got to a World Championship. Then he was shipped to the Boston Red Sox, where I think one year he had something like 147 RBIs. He was a whale of a baseball player. And here's that chat between Zvetovich and Pete Gray.
Do you remember a lot about him?
Yeah,
what kind of hitter he was?
He was a good hitter. He was a good ball player. Then they sold him to Boston.
Good shortstop?
Yeah, very good.
How come he wasn't in the war at the time?
Well, I wouldn't know that. I guess that...
What was your manager, Luke Sewell, like?
He was all right. He was a good manager. All the managers are pretty good.
Okay.
I mean, you know how it is. I just played there one year, and I'd go to a different city, different league. And that's the way that went on.
Okay, what minor league team did you play for?
Well, I played with Three Rivers up in the Canadian American League. That's the first year I got in organized baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And I broke my collarbone the opening day of the season, and I was out for 2 months, and I went back up, and I played in 42 games. I hit 381.
And what year was that?
That was in 1942. Yeah. And I went to Memphis for 2 years. Played 2 years in Memphis in 1944. I was voted the most valuable player in the league.
How many home runs did you hit that year?
Five.
Five?
At Memphis. And then I...
What was your average?
In Memphis, 333.
Uh-huh.
I stole 68 bases.
What was the team nickname in Memphis?
Chicks.
Memphis Chicks.
Memphis Chicks.
And then you went up to the majors in 1945.
45, yeah. I played in 77 games.
Yeah, I have here you batted 253 times.
Yeah, I was up to bat 253 times. And I struck out 10 times or something.
Yeah, I got 11. So you were a good contact hitter.
Yeah, well, I always hit the ball. But my average wasn't too good, but I was hitting the ball on the nose, but I was getting out.
Did you play center field or all field position?
Well, I played, they put me in left to start, and then later on they put me in center field.
Okay. The center fielder was Krevich. Remember
Krevich,
him?
Yeah, Mike Krevich.
Is he a good center fielder?
Yeah, he's a good hitter, too. Then they sold him later on in the season, the last month of the season, to Washington.
He had a very good pitching staff.
Yeah.
Potter, what was his first name?
Nelson Potter. Yeah,
he was 15-11, second in the league in strikeouts.
Yeah.
I think Jack Kramer.
Jack Kramer was with us, yeah. He was a good... We had a pretty good team, but we finished third.
Mm-hmm. This one pitcher, Moncrief, he was 13-4.
Yeah.
What was his first name? B. Moncrief. Bill?
Bill, yeah.
He had a pretty good
yeah.
How about some of the opposing players? Hal Newhouser won Cy Young Award that year.
Yeah, well, I always played against him. He was a left-hand pitcher, and I was a left-hand batter.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good pitcher. They're all pretty good, I guess.
Do you remember Dizzy Trout?
Trout, yeah. He was with Detroit. They won it that year.
That's right. And Steve O'Neill was the manager. He has local ties.
Right. He's up here. He's about 15 miles from here. Yeah.
Okay. Did you know him well?
Yeah, I didn't know him until I heard of him, and then I met him. He's a manager.
Okay. How about Hank Greenberg and Rudy York?
Yeah, well, Hank Greenberg come back from he hit a home run the last day of the season to beat us. We were leading 3-2, and he hit a home run with two on in the last inning.
There was a lot of good managers in the league then. Lou Boudreau, Jimmy Dykes, Joe Cronin, Connie Mack.
Right.
Jeremy Connie Mack?
Oh, yeah. I met him before I went.
What kind of guy was he?
Well, he was all right.
Sternweiss led the league in hitting.
Right.
And the Yankees. George Sternweiss?
Right.
Okay. Do you remember him?
Yeah, well, he's a good ball player.
How about Joe McCarthy?
Yeah, the Yankee manager.
You're listening to an interview with Pete Gray that was handled by Steve Zvitolbich, a young fellow from Scranton who set some kind of a precedent in that he was able to get in contact with Gray and get him on tape, and we figured it's almost a historic type of thing, so we better present it to everybody in Northeast Pennsylvania. As a matter of fact, Steve sent a letter along with a copy of the article that he wrote on Pete Gray to Baseball's Hall of Fame, and he got a letter back from the powers that be at Cooperstown and said, hey, terrific, this is great stuff, and we're going to put it in Pete Gray's file, which I probably would imagine is not too thick, because how many interviews has Gray granted? Incidentally, during the course of the talk, you've mentioned that Luke Sewell was the manager of the St. Louis Browns when Pete made the major leagues. And Zvitolbich wrote, he says, I asked Pete about his manager, Sewell, who led the Browns to a third-place finish. And Gray said Luke Sewell was a good manager. All of the managers were good. Sewell played 20 years in the big leagues as a catcher with Cleveland, Washington, Chicago, and St. Louis. He managed for 10 years with the Browns and with the Cincinnati Reds. And Zvitolbich didn't stop with the interview with Gray. He then went on and contacted Sewell. Sewell now lives at Akron, Ohio. He's in his mid-80s, and he confirmed his beliefs in Pete Gray. He said, quote, I thought that the movie was a horrible portrayal of Pete, Sewell said. That wasn't the Pete Gray I knew. Pete was a friend to everybody. If handling men were as easy as Pete, it would have been a breeze to manage. He was perfect. Pete got along with people well. He was cooperative and went about his business. He was never out of shape. I alternated him that year in the outfield. He played center field most of the year, but some right field. It was quite an accomplishment what he did. Sewell remembered when the Browns brought Gray up to the majors. He said he was playing for the Memphis Chicks in the Southern Association. I didn't know of him at the time. Bill DeWitt made the deal in Memphis. I was surprised that we had him, Sewell said. Incidentally, Pete did not mention the fact that while he was playing with the Memphis Chicks in the Southern Association, he was also most valuable player that year. And I was quite surprised to learn that of the 253 career appearances he made in the major leagues, he only struck out 11 times. Now, think about that ratio. 253 plate appearances and only 11 strikeouts for a guy swinging a bat one-handed. That is extraordinary. Who was the first guy that he faced in Major League Baseball? Get this, Hal Newhouser. How good was Newhouser? Well, he was back-to-back most valuable player as a pitcher with the Detroit Tigers. As far as I know, the only pitcher that ever won back-to-back most valuable player awards. And it was accomplished by Newhouser. And here is Gray up for the first time in the majors. And who does he have to go against except the tops in baseball? And we will return with more of this exclusive interview, which was acquired by Steve Zvitovich of Scranton, with Pete Gray, the only guy who ever played Major League Baseball with one arm. I'm Ron Allen. This is the Sportsline Show. Hope you're having a pleasant Thursday night. We'll be right back with more right after this. The only one-armed man ever to play Major League Baseball. Still a resident of Nanticoke and interviewed recently by a fellow by the name of Steve Zvitovich from the Scranton area. Prep graduate, University of Scranton graduate. And he got an interview with Gray, which is a tough thing to do. Not too many people are able to get that. Gray, as you know, recently the subject of a movie called A Winner Never Quits, a television movie that starred one of the Carradine brothers. And let's continue on with this interview between Steve Zvitovich and Pete Gray. Here's Pete making his first major league appearance, and who's he going up against? A guy who ends up winning back-to-back Most Valuable Player Awards, pitcher by the name of Hal Newhouser.
Who was the first pitcher you batted against?
Newhouser.
Newhouser.
Opening day of the season, yeah.
And what'd you do?
I got 1-for-3, and I got walked once.
Oh, your first at-bat?
I hit a fly ball to right field.
You flied out?
Yeah, and we beat him 7-1 opening day.
And you got a single off Newhouser?
Yeah.
So your first major league hit was off Newhouser?
Yeah.
Okay. And what happened the next year when you went back to the minor leagues?
I went to Toledo at a AAA ball.
Were you surprised that you got sent back?
No, I figured, I don't know, I figured I had a bad year and I knew I was going back.
And then you
I
played?
I was going somewhere, you know? I didn't care as long as I was playing baseball, and it was every day, so I wanted to do, the only thing I wanted to do was play in Yankee Stadium, you know, when I was a kid, and that came true, and so my wishes came true, and that was it.
What did you do in your first at-bat at Yankee Stadium? Do you remember your at-bat?
Yeah, I think I hit a fly ball to right field.
How about any hits in that game?
Yeah, I think I had 2-for-5.
And who was the pitcher?
He's right offhand, Rashi.
Vic Rashi?
Yeah, he was
a good one.
Good. Yeah, he was good.
What was your biggest throw in your minor league career?
I got 7-for-7 in a doubleheader.
No kidding.
I got 4-for-4 in the first game, 3-for-3 in the second game.
No kidding.
And then I was taken out for a pinch hitter.
Uh-huh. It's a pretty big thrill.
Yeah, 7-for-7, I guess.
How about your biggest thrill in the major leagues, playing in Yankee Stadium?
Playing in Yankee Stadium.
Okay. Your career ended in 1949?
Yeah.
And how did it end?
Well, it just ended, that's all. I was too old when I got there. I was 30 years old when I got up in the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And I knocked around for different leagues, Elton Lara, New York, Dallas, Texas, Toledo. And I went back to Canada.
Oh, you were playing in Canada?
I played in Canada 5 times.
Oh, yeah?
Twice I played in Three Rivers. Once it wasn't professional ball, but it was every day.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I got in organized baseball.
Mm-hmm.
They knew what I could do, so they sent me a contract in the Canadian American League, Class C ball. On opening day, I broke my collarbone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out, well, I told you, I was out for 2 months, and I hit, went back, and I hit 381.
That was 1942. Two. Okay. How about high school? Did you play it for Nanticoke? Or did you play high school?
Well, they wouldn't give me a chance too much. Mm-hmm. I played later on when I got a little older. I started to play with the street teams, you know?
Right. In Nanticoke?
Yeah, well, this town, yeah.
And who signed you to your first contract? Or your first tryout?
Well, I told you, I was playing up in Scranton. Sunday baseball in the pitcher. His name was Skelton. Skelton. And he went to Canada.
Skelton?
Yeah. He went to Canada. And he knew what I could do.
Mm-hmm.
But they were playing 5 or 6 days a week. They didn't play Sunday ball at that time up there. So he called me up and he said, would I come up here? It's everyday baseball but Sunday. And we practice on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah. So I went up there and I'd done all right. It was a better class of ball than when I went up there to play in the Canadian American League.
Mm-hmm.
The older fellas, minor league fellas, you know, they're paying good money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I went up there. And then about 3-4 years later, they got in organized baseball. And they sent me a contract. Mm-hmm. That's how I got in professional baseball, in organized baseball.
And who signed you? Who was the owner of the Browns?
Well, there was the Browns.
You played for St. Louis.
Yeah, right? Don Barnes. He was the owner.
Don Barnes.
Yeah.
So he was the one that...
Well, DeWitt signed me. They bought my contract from Memphis.
Mm-hmm. What was his first name, DeWitt?
Charlie.
Charlie DeWitt. He's the one that signed you?
Charlie and Bill, yeah. Well, he was the business manager.
Only one arm man ever to play Major League Baseball, Pete Gray, and you're listening to an interview with him that was gathered by Steve Zvitovich. And I'll tell you, all the time that I've been doing sports, decades worth of sports, I've never heard Pete Gray interviewed. I've never read about an interview that he gave. So Steve called me up the other day and said, hey, I got a taped interview with Pete Gray, and I got it published in the Hazelden Standard Speaker, and would you like to have it? I said, would I like to have it? Would the audience like to hear it? Anybody listening tonight might be the only people in America ever to hear Pete Gray interviewed. Steve Zvitovich did a fine job. Now, how about that line that Gray hits Zvitovich with, that his biggest thrill in the minor leagues was going 7-for-7 in a doubleheader. Got 4 hits in the first game, 3 hits in the second game, then they took him out for a pinch hitter. That's the one that I'm trying to figure out why. If I ever bump in a grade, that's the first question I'm going to ask him. How can they lifted you for a pinch hitter when you're going 7-for-7, and this is the bottom half of the doubleheader? What did Pete Gray think about the motion picture that was made of his life called A Winner Never Quits? It was recently shown on TV. We'll find out about that when we continue along. In the meantime, I'm Ron Allen. Thursday night edition of your Ron Allen Sportsline show. No Phillies baseball tonight. They are off. We will resume with Phillies activity tomorrow, and we'll resume with this Pete Gray interview right after this on WARM.
Ron Allen Sportsline on WARM.
The Sports Line Show. Moving along, I'm Ron Allen. We're featuring excerpts of an interview that was conducted by a Scranton resident, Steve Zvitovich, with a baseball immortal, really. The only guy that ever played Major League Baseball with one arm. That's Pete Gray, still a resident of Nanticoke. A lot of people said it's impossible to get to Gray. Steve, a very industrious young man, says, I'll get him, dashes down there with the tape recorder, comes back with the interview. As you know, Gray was recently the subject of that TV movie, A Winner Never Quits. Zvitovich talked to him about that.
Did you happen to watch the movie?
Yeah.
About your life? What did you think of it?
It was all right. I thought they should have mentioned my brother. I had a brother living in Connecticut. Well, he passed away years ago.
Uh-huh.
See, my family's all gone.
Uh-huh. What was his name?
Tony.
Tony.
And what did he do?
Well, he was married and he worked out there.
He was an older brother?
Yeah, I was the youngest in the family. When we came to New York, he met me at the Paz Gate.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Right.
And I told him, I says, well, this is it. This is what it's all about, Yankee Stadium.
Right.
He was there with his wife, and we went in, and I saw him after the game, and he went back to Connecticut, and we went on to Philadelphia, you know, after the, played the Yankees, four games, I guess.
And what was your other brother's name, the boxer?
Joe.
Joe. And he was an amateur, pardon me?
He was a professional fighter.
Professional fighter.
Yeah, well, he had a couple of fights.
But he had that one fight.
Yeah. I went in the ring and stopped it.
Yeah, that's what that's happened in the movie.
Yeah, all they showed that, yeah.
And when did he pass away?
About 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. You were very close?
Yeah, him and I were close.
Would you say he was a big influence in your life?
Well, he never taught me anything about baseball, but they had it in the movies that he was teaching me all.
Right.
I played with the kids, and it just happened that I was pretty good, but I couldn't figure how to get the ball, you know, get rid of the ball.
Right.
Then that just came.
You one perfected day, that.
Yeah, it just came, and that was it.
And how about your father must have been a big influence on you?
Well, he was a coal miner.
Huh? And what was his name?
Pete.
Pete.
Yeah. My name was Weichner.
Yeah, that's what it said in the baseball encyclopedia.
Yeah, I changed my name to Gray. Well, my brother went by the name of Whitey Gray.
Uh-huh.
And we were in Minersville, and the Cardinals had a tryout camp there. There was about 500-600 kids there. And you had a number on your back. When they wanted to talk to you, they'd call your number.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of your name, they call your number. And they called my number, and they said, well, they thought that I couldn't play in organized baseball.
Uh-huh.
What was I going to say? I couldn't say that.
Right. What was your father and mother's name? Your mother and father's name?
Father was Pete.
Your mother's name?
Antoinette.
Antoinette. Okay, so what was the young boy's name?
Nelson Gary.
Nelson Gary.
The papers, the old man wrote to the papers, and the papers, they made a collection, and they brought the kid and the mother and father down. They paid the expenses, and he met me at the ballpark.
Right.
And we were in the playoffs with Nashville. And we beat Nashville. That was the first game of the playoffs. I got 4 for 5.
Mm-hmm.
And we beat him in 12 innings. And he fell asleep at the game, just like in the picture.
How old was he at the time, about?
Six.
Six?
Yeah.
Now, what became of him later on?
Well, he's out in California. He's in the insurance business.
Did you ever stay in contact with him?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it true that at first you didn't want to meet him?
No, that was false.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah, that was false.
Now, you were never married?
No.
Mm-hmm. How about the part early in the movie where you were close?
Yeah, I had a lot of girls.
Pete says he had himself a lot of girls, and you're listening to an interview with Pete Grabe. Still living in Anacoke, 71 years old, only one-armed man ever to play Major League Baseball. Being interviewed by Steve Zvitovich, who went down there to gather information for a newspaper column, then contacted us and said, would you like to have this interview to play for your audience? I said, would I? Are you kidding? Never, ever, ever, ever heard Pete Gray talk. Never even heard of him being interviewed. Most people said that he was a recluse. That's not correct at all, according to Zvitovich. He said he's a very, very nice and a very approachable guy. And we will hear more about the personal life of Pete Gray when we return here on the Sportsline Show. I'm Ron Allen. Thank you for joining us tonight. We'll be right back after this on Warm.
Allen Sports Line on WARM.
Final minutes of the Sports Line show. Exclusive interview with Pete Gray. Pete still living in Nanticoke, living by himself. No really surviving members of the family. Mom's gone, Dad's gone, all the brothers. He did say that there are some relatives scattered hither and yon. Not, I guess, not the closest of relatives. A
couple of nephews and nieces living, and...
Do they live around here?
No, they're out in Connecticut and Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. What was it like growing up in Nanticoke?
Yeah, all right.
And you settled back here, so you must have liked it.
Yeah, well, I always came home after the season.
Mm-hmm. When did your mother and father pass away?
Oh, my mother... Father passed away about 30 years ago, and my mother passed away about 14 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And my brother about 3 years ago. And the other brother about 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two sisters. So I'm left alone.
Mm-hmm. You still follow baseball?
Yeah, I like the... Well, I picked the Yankees and the Mets.
Do you?
Yeah.
Who do you think is the best player in the game today?
Today? I don't know, but I always liked Mickey Mantle when I was younger.
Who's the best player you ever saw in your lifetime?
I don't know. Ted Williams, Stan Musial, Sam DiMaggio. I don't know what one to pick.
Who's the best pitcher you ever batted against?
Good to know.
How were you close to any of your teammates on the St. Louis Browns?
Well, I sort of kept to myself.
Uh-huh.
How was with Vern Stevens. We went out after the ball game, go to eat or something.
All right. How was Luke Sewell to you?
Good.
How was
they had it that I was pretty hard to get along with, you know?
Yeah. How did you feel about that?
I'll come to the ballpark and I left the ballpark. That's all.
You seem easy to get along with to me.
Yeah, well, they had it that, well, I had always trouble of reporting spring training, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I never liked to go to spring training. I like to get there a week.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was in condition here. All I had to do was take 2 days of batting practice and I was ready.
Right.
So that's the way that went.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Zvitovich is the young man who acquired the interview with Pete Gray. Might be the only one in existence. I know that Steve did send a copy of the interview that he did. In the newspaper story, and folks at Baseball's Hall of Fame said they're going to put it in the Pete Gray file. So, Steve Zvitovich, thank you for the use of your tape and all the information you supplied. I wonder if I can get this show into the Hall of Fame. Boy, Ron Allen Sports Line in Baseball's Hall of Fame. That'll knock my socks off. We have been here for the gallery at Split Rock, and we are here every night, too. Between 6 and 8, or between 6 and the start of the Philadelphia Philly game. We'll be returning again tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. In the meantime, have yourself a very, very pleasant evening. If you're driving, be very, very careful, because I've got to get home, and I don't want to get in an accident with you or anybody else. I'll see you again tomorrow at 6. Thank you, everybody, and good night.